I'm Ewan Edwards. I'm a PhD student funded by MAST at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. I work on northern fulmars, which are one of our most common seabird species. There's between 2 and 5 million fulmars in the North Atlantic region, and around 500,000 of them are around the Scottish coastline. They've expanded greatly in number and in distribution in terms of where they breed over the last 200 years. And this has been attributed in part to the rise of commercial fisheries and the availability of fisheries discards as a food source, which is really cheap, energetically cheap, and easily available to fulmars. Prior to my recent work, most of what we knew about fulmars was based on long-term population monitoring at the breeding colonies and the recovery of rings from birds that were ringed at colonies such as Ainhallow, where I work in Orkney, that turn up dead normally, quite often on fishing vessels around the North Atlantic. But recent advances in technology have allowed us to use GPS tracking devices using the satellite tracking system that you get in your sat-nav in your car to attach these to birds and to find out where they go. So the advance in technology is that these are now tiny little devices. In fact, many mobile phones have a GPS in them now, so they're available in a small enough package to attach to a bird like a fulmar, which is only less than a kilo in body weight. And these devices recently have shown that the fulmars are capable of covering an enormous area even when they're constrained to return to their nest to feed their chick during the breeding season. And what we found is that while one partner is incubating the egg on the nest, the other partner could be as far away as the Mid-Atlantic Ridge on a 5,000 kilometer round trip to go and rebuild its energy reserves and feed. Later during the breeding season, once the egg hatches and the chick needs fed far more frequently, the range is constrained somewhat, but still the birds are covering up to 2,000 kilometers in a 3 or 4 day foraging trip. At the extreme of the range, most trips are within 100 kilometers of the colony and last for around a day. It's early days yet to state which oceanographic factors are most important in dictating where fulmars go to forage. I think the shelf slope, the edge of the continental shelf between the roughly 200 meters depth shelf waters and the 4,000 meters depth oceanic waters, seems to be a very important area for the birds. Some of the tracks the birds are flying almost uniquely along the shelf break and targeting that as their main foraging area. It's too early to say whether such things as sea surface temperature and plankton primary production are going to be important descriptors of where fulmars go, but that's all part of my analysis, which is planned for the next few months. But these advances in technology are revealing to us incredible new information about fulmars, an iconic species that has been well studied, but not so much once it's away from its breeding colony. It's very hard to pick out whether the fulmars are going to certain areas to feed on naturally available prey or whether they're going there to feed on fisheries discards. But I've recently managed to get hold of an index of fishing effort in the seas around Scotland, which gives an idea of fisheries hotspots, and I'd like to correlate where the fulmars go with the areas of high fishing effort to see if there is a potential relationship there, to actually tease out the relationship further to explore whether fulmars are genuinely there because the fishing vessels are there. This will probably need a bit more in terms of diet analysis to see what the birds are eating, whether it's naturally available prey such as small fish and sand eels and crustaceans at the surface, because they don't dive very deep, fulmars, they're just feeding at the surface, or whether they're feeding on discarded white fish such as haddock and cod, which is caught much deeper in the sea and discarded at the surface. It wouldn't normally be available to a fulmar, not being a diving species. Fulmars are notorious that when you approach a fulmar, its main defense mechanism, and this is against other seabirds, other mammals, and also humans, its defense mechanism is to regurgitate its last meal, and quite often it's some bright orange fishy oil from its stomach as a deterrent. And this provides an easy opportunity to collect diet samples from a fulmar. It doesn't allow you to collect a whole meal sample from what the bird's eaten in the last 24 hours, but it does give an indication of what's in its diet, and it's a very uninvasive method of collecting a diet sample. In terms of what happens in the future as a result of my work, initially the main outcome will be be able to predict, well, to show on a map basically what constitutes fulmar habitat and where we expect to find really important areas of the sea for fulmars around Scotland. This could inform legislation, you know, dictating where we put things on the seabed, such as wind farms and oil industry developments. But additionally, I think that the link with fisheries is quite interesting in these days of proposed discard bans. We don't know how much that's going to impact fulmars or seabirds in general around Scotland. And if we can show that there's a strong link, then perhaps it's something to consider before, you know, if we're going to have a huge impact on birds by reducing fisheries discards. It's something that needs to be thought about. Of course, I'm in no way saying that we should keep discarding, you know, wastefully discarding fish. However, it would be interesting to see what might happen to the population in the advent of a discard ban.